my heart was broken, and I had no idea how to handle that. And for the first time in my life, I had truly experienced searing emotional pain that I had no idea how to deal with, no idea how to cope with. And I went from being really passionate about golf to literally becoming a head case.
This is the Young Entrepreneurs Network podcast, where serial entrepreneur, public speaker, social media expert, Marco Stavro, will be interviewing some of the greatest upcoming current experts in their respective industries. From artists, entrepreneurs, e-commerce experts, influencers, and more. To help you take your passions and aspirations and create your own successful brands and businesses. Now, let's get straight into the show that could possibly change your thinking and life.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Young Entrepreneurs Network podcast. For the new listeners, I'm your host, Marco Stavro. And if you're a regular listener, thanks again for tuning into this episode. Today's episode, I'm joined with Travis Fox, who is an incredible human being, which I'm very honored to have the opportunity to sit down and to chat with. Dr. Travis Fox, 25-year career CEO, 3 times published author, MER award-winning producer, motivational speaker, sports performance and personal transformational teacher with over 14,000 hours on stage around the world. He's got an incredible journey and story to share today with us, as well as some incredible business strategies, tactics, and tips to help transform your business and find your purpose and what fulfills you. So without further ado, let's welcome Travis Fox to the show.
Wow, thank you, Mario. Are you sure you're talking about me? Sometimes I listen to that intro and I go, is that me? Is that what I'm doing? You know, it's like waking up from a dream going, is that really my Biden? Wow. Okay. Wow. Oh, that's cool. Got to check in. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
Of course, man. It's my honor to have you sit down, and I really feel like it's going to be a powerful and impactful interview. And, you know, it's all about changing my audience's lives. And I think that you have the story to do that. So let's get straight into it. So, okay, you know, I don't know too much about exactly where it started. So for the new listeners and people who haven't heard your story, can you give us a 30 to 1 minute intro of how your childhood was, where you were brought up, and take us quite far back? I know those are just the memories.
Did you just call me old, Marco?
without disrespect.
That's all good, man. No worries. I'm probably the youngest old guy you'll ever meet.
You look 20, so that's why, you know, I said that at 25.
You're doing great, brother. No, I just turned 49 last week in November, but thank you, very kind. To answer your question, I was born in Phoenix, Arizona in 1970, long before probably most of your listeners were on the planet. They're already changing the world far faster than we did back then. I was a very different experience. I was whisked off to Japan at the first part of my life. So the first 4 years of my life, I grew up in Japan. My mother was a model and an actress, and my father was a fighter pilot, which is an interesting combination. Sounded really cool in the 70s, but nonetheless, we came back to Florida for about 6 months. And that was the first major change in my life. My father was kind of this avid golfer. He wasn't really great at it, but he was okay. He was passionate about it. And he put a golf club in my hand at 5 years old, and I was natural. It just kind of just came to me. And I played golf completely different, of course, at five. To me, it was just hitting the golf ball as far as I could. And I hit it about 80 yards off the tee, and it just became this thing I did, and it's something my father and I related to. And then we were whisked off to Germany, and I spent the next 3.5 years in Germany. So by the time I was about nine and a half, I came back to the United States, and even though I was a United States citizen, finally started to live in the United States. So I had already been able to speak pretty fluently 3 languages by the time I'd come back. Wow. Spanish was not one of them. Since we came back to California, I was kind of this, you know, unique person that said, well, you know, I kind of like sushi and sauerkraut. What's a taco? But didn't get it. You know, it was kind of that joke. So it was kind of strange. The culture shift for me was actually coming back here and then reintegrating into the United States culture. And then from there, I pretty much pursued my golf career and academic career pretty harshly. Academics always came naturally to me. There's rumor that I'm on the autism spectrum, somewhere in the Asperger's realm. I have an autistic son, so perhaps that's viable. I just was able to memorize everything. Everything I saw in school just came to me. I memorized it and gave it back to them. I don't know that I call that learning, but nonetheless, I regurgitated what they wanted me to say. And meanwhile, I was focused on golf. And by the time I was 17, my whole life was planned out. Now, I'm sure many of your listeners probably approach their life or their entrepreneurial journey the same way. I've got it all planned out. Here's my business plan. It's going to go this way. We're going to get these KPIs and boom, we're going to be bazillionaires. And they've probably figured out it doesn't have anything close to look like that at all. In fact, it's completely the opposite. And so too was my awakening, the second one, which was my life was to be on the PGA Tour. I was going to, you know, be the next, you know, great golfer of our time. At that time, you know, Greg Norman was, you know, pretty much the dominant player in the world. And that's who everybody looked up to. And nonetheless, life had a different response for me. And that's when my real path was revealed. I made an interesting choice. My girlfriend at the time and I got pregnant my senior year of high school, and that changed everything. And I went from immediately being, you know, I'm going to be the PGA Tour to I have no idea what the heck I'm doing. And long story longer, I went to go into college. Before I got there, she left on an overnight run and took my child with her, unbeknownst to me. And my heart was broken. And I had no idea how to handle that. And for the first time in my life, I had truly experienced searing emotional pain that I had no idea how to deal with, no idea how to cope with. And I went from being really passionate about golf to literally becoming a head case. Couldn't stand over the ball, couldn't do anything, but, you know, walk down the middle of the fairway and just would start crying randomly, going, you know, where is she? Where's my child? And what I thought was the darkest time of my life ended up being the most enlightened moment where I realized that there's something going on beyond my conscious awareness. And I met my mentor, and that's what changed my life. And that's how I sit on this podcast with you nowadays, you know, some 30 years later. And I sat under him for 15 years and changed my life. And I always remind people, and I heard you talk about it in the intro, of discovering your purpose and your passion. And I really thought that was my thing, was to help people discover their passion and purpose. When I only come to realize now, you know, some 30 years later, after all of that beautiful intro that you mentioned, it's not discovering your passion, people. It's remembering you already are passion, and that where did you stuff it down? Where did you turn it off? Where did you exchange it for paying some bills or thinking you're supposed to be X or Y, and compressing that passion that you already are? And if you get that now, get it at a very, very young, early age, either both in chronological or more entrepreneurial, it'll make your journey radically different. And that's what I've been doing for the last 30 years, is helping people remember that they are passionate through that step-by-step system we call Architect of Being.
Yeah, so, you know, it's an amazing story and journey that you've had. And I think it's actually shaped the businesses that you've created and helped you discover how are you going to make an impact on this planet. And, you know, it's quite interesting that you now, after 30 years, have realized that all along, it's not about finding your passion or purpose, it's about using it. You've already got it. It's about finding it, then using it. And I think that's, you know, interesting for me, because I've always thought, find your purpose, live it out, do what fulfills you, sure. But it's already there.
Yeah.
You have to look deep inside. So it's quite a nice, you know, look at it and different view on it. So for people that don't know the businesses that you're currently involved with, will you just quickly go into the three main businesses that you're involved with and what are you doing currently within each one?
Sure. Yeah, you're right. I'm glad that hopefully your listeners caught on to that as well. And we'll explore that a little more in the interview if you want to. There's three stages of Architect Being. Architect of Being in and of itself is the 30-year program that I developed, which is self-transformational. It is not under the guise that we have all the answers. In fact, I'll tell you point blank, I don't have an answer for you or your audience. But what I do have is a system that's 42 weeks long that will literally ask you question by question, walk you through systematically, clinically, what's going on in your mind, conscious, subconscious, and deep down in your shadow subconscious. It'll ask you, you'll be able to experience those changes instantaneously, and then ultimately you'll be able to apply them to your life so that you truly start to understand you're the architect of your journey. You're the architect of your being. This is your journey, your life, your experience, however you like to frame it. And once you understand that sequence, which starts with the ideology of there's nothing to find, right? I've watched people spend their lives trying to go find something. There's nothing to find, right? And I know that sounds ethereal, and that sounds really kind of heady, and your listeners will go, wow, that's really deep, Travis. Yeah, but it's not, right? It's when you understand the system, you go, oh, crap, it's been there all along. I'm like, yeah, here's the system on how to do it. So Architect of Being is your step one, how to architect your life. And when you're done with that, then you move to architecting a lifestyle, you know, entrepreneurial specifically, and that's the ACE Initiative. And the ACE Initiative is co-founded with my two partners, Brian Hodgson, Brandon Odom. And we came on the philosophy of, well, entrepreneurialism is an approach kind of backwards nowadays. And so they're serial online entrepreneurs. They're younger than me, not unlike yourself, but they're in their, you know, young 30s. And they said, hey, look, could we take all of our skill sets, slam this together, and make a better mousetrap? And we did. And the ACE initiative has been around for several years now, and ACE is an acronym that stands for Architects Creating Entrepreneurs. And part of our challenge was, is so much entrepreneurialism in today's world is buy a blueprint, buy a model, jump into a system, and then adopt that either as that's who I am, or I have to conform to this culture, otherwise I'm not with the cool kids. And that's not what entrepreneurialism is. Entrepreneurialism is falling in love with the journey. Whatever that journey is, building, whether it's building a better mousetrap or building a billion-dollar empire online or offline, it's still falling in love with the journey. There's a specific set of skill sets that go along with that. Architects Creating Entrepreneurs is about that. So you go from architect to being to the ACE initiative. And then when you're done with that, then you really want to go to the big journey itself. We call that the E-Label. And the E-Label is a conglomerate of high-level masters who have all done very successful in entrepreneurialism and helping, you know, either YouTubers or influencers or people who have gotten their entrepreneurial side down. They've made money. They understand how to make money. But how do I now make that a brand? Because there's a difference between making money, entrepreneur, like, gee, yeah. I can go online, I can monetize a YouTube channel. That doesn't make you an entrepreneur. That just means you made money because you jumped on, you know, YouTube system. An entrepreneurial who wants to go to a brand is a big move. And so E-Label now takes you to that next level. And again, it's all fundamentally based on the same concept. You are living in your passion simultaneously. And part of our job at each stage as you move through the journey of a lifetime in the three levels is to continually bump and remind each other, hey, are you in your passion or are you wandering off again? Are you wandering off and getting distracted on a shiny object, or are you getting into power or fame or, you know, whatever this ego trip you're on, or are you really staying in passion with what you're doing? And we found when we gently nudge that through that system, it replicates itself over and over and over. And again, because going back to what we said at the top of the interview, it's not something you need to find. It's something you need to remember. It's down in here. The self-hypnosis that we impose upon ourselves as architects of our own journey is staggering. And after 30 years, I'm still blown away, even at my own journey, how we still continually hypnotize ourselves to believe things we know deep down inside are just not in alignment. They're just not accurate. They're not quite what we really want, but they're close enough. We'll compromise. And I'm not saying that it can't be a flexibility, but I'm talking about we'll misalign ourselves with what our heart, our architect, we call it, the architect is synonymous with heart, what our heart's really telling us. And then we minimize ourselves and we compress ourselves, we suppress ourselves, and we oppress ourselves. And then we go on this really wonderful rampage of blaming everyone else and saying it's mom and dad, or, you know, I'm not one of the lucky ones, all of these excuses of just junk. And we self-hypnotize ourselves. And next thing you know, 40, 50, 60 years have gone by. And so our entire philosophy is architect your life, architect your lifestyle without missing your life. And that's what we do.
Amazing. And I get that's a lot, and you know, a lot of millennials, my generation, don't understand to embrace the journey. And, you know, the results will come and the success will come. But one day when you're, you know, either a billionaire or you've impacted a million lives, you're going to reflect and say how important that journey was. And I wish that I actually embraced it more. And a lot of teenagers don't understand that, and they just wanna, you know, make $1 million or get a best-selling book. But it's actually about the process and the systems to get to that position. So I wanna quickly ask you, what is your definition of success? And then we'll move on to another question that I have.
Success when I was your age was monetary, you know, monetary and fame, right? I got to have $1 billion. I got to win the Masters, got to win the US Open, got to be a Hall of Fame golfer. And that was my success. And if I didn't need it, then I was an utter failure, which I suspect a lot of your audience and perhaps even your generation, if I may be so bold, an observation. And I think this is for all of us, but more so now because the access to information is so broad and so, you know, overwhelming that, you know, the keep up with the Joneses, I've got to be a success by the time I'm, you know, 12. I've got to be a bazillionaire now. I've got to be the next Steve Jobs. And the letdown for a lot of the people on the other side of that coin, I think, is where the real issue is going to become. I think there's a tsunami of self-esteem and self-value less valued people that have diminished themselves is what's really coming. Because the expectation is I should be able to get on, you know, YouTube or Google or some sort of thing, you know, some online entrepreneur, reach 1 million people and make $1 billion by the time I'm ready to go to university. And when most don't, and they find out that entrepreneurialism is not a straight line, it's a, you know, it's a big squirrely squiggle thing up, down, left, and right. It's the expectation and the letdown, the performance, we call it performance guardian, that really is the issue. And For me, success now at 49, and I tell, you know, my kids and then all my partners and all of our community, which is, you know, just shy about 3,000 members now, I tell them all the same thing. I said, success is going to boil down to one thing, and that is, at any given moment, can you check in and say, I love what I'm doing, I'm happy where I'm at, and it doesn't mean that you're complacent or that you're content, it just means you're enjoying where you're at the moment. If any part of your answer is no, stop and tear it apart. And that means diving into the place that is probably most scary, which is our fears. And our fears are in our inadequacies. What are people going to think if I'm totally gone off the rails? You know, they're going to think I'm nuts. But realistically, happiness is going to boil down to that experience of, am I in alignment? You know, and I think the first question I would ask your listeners to ask themselves, and it's a question we ask anybody who comes an architect and when they take like the free passion test just to kind of see where they're at. One of the questions we ask is this, and I'll ask you, if you only had 30 days left to live on this planet and knew that was a fact, would you be doing anything you're doing right now? And if any part of your answer in that question is no, stop. And let's take a look at A, why you're doing it, B, what's the purpose in that distraction that you're creating for yourself, and C, what is it you really, 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 really want, but are too afraid to admit that you want because either someone's gonna judge you for it, mostly yourself, or you're not gonna feel good enough, or you know, they're afraid of success, or you're afraid of failure, something along those lines, and then really start architecting life in that position. Because the truth is, and there's only one truth on this planet that I've discovered, and I've traveled all around the world 3 times now and sat with some amazing, amazing souls, not unlike yourself, and the only thing that I've come to is there's only one truth on this planet. And that is, none of us are getting off this planet alive, period. Everything else is a construct of some sort of imagination, whether it's, you know, the culture you grew up in, the religion you subscribe to, the philosophy you adopted, you know, how you chose to, your parents chose to raise you, or you raising your children. That's great. But those are all constructs of your imagination or what you think your journey is. Bottom line is, you're not getting off the planet alive. So until you face that fear that one day this is going to end, boom, and you have no idea when, and you have no control of it either way, that until you face that fear, are you really living your life exactly the way you want? Because newsflash, and I know your listeners know this, but it's time to wake up that self-hypnosis distraction we create. You don't know when that's going to occur, and it's going to happen no matter what. So to hold back and wait for the rainy day and not swing for the fences, win, lose, or draw, or failure become obsolete to you because you understand the concept. The end game for all of us is the same, broken, dead. How you live becomes the interesting point of view, and that's where you start to fall in love with the journey, and that's what architecting, you know, starts with, being then your lifestyle, and then ultimately a brand. And then you get to determine which part of that you want to play in. And there's no win, there's a draw. It's just what works for you. So success comes from, am I truly living my life in that space? Not, wake up.
Boom. Just, you know, take a few seconds and go re-listen to that, because so much of that, what you just said, resonates with me personally and what I'm teaching to my students and what people are listening. Because, you know, I hear it and I get it every single day, especially in South Africa, because we're not as, you know, developed and entrepreneurial as, you know, in America. But people are often following, they think that people's opinion and judgment is going to define my future. And I have to reestablish in their thought process that the person sitting next to you is not going to define what's going to happen tomorrow and not going to define what you achieve. And once you realize that people's opinions and judgment, and you take that out of the equation, your life is going to go to the next direction, and you're going to start understanding that I'm doing this podcast for me, not for the people that are partying next door. I'm doing this for my future, to grow myself and the other various goals that I have. So once you understand that, and you know, I love your company so much because you give the process and systems to, first of all, finding it, what are you scared of, and then diving deep into that, and then finding the passions that already lie in your conscious and subconscious mind, and then taking that and applying it into business. So it's three amazing steps that you have. And I want to quickly ask you a question, because I get this a lot, and people are like, you know, I don't know where to start, I'm lost, I love business, I'm interested in it. The biggest thing people say is, I'm interested in business. But then I ask them the question, what have you done? What is the next step that you've taken? You know, I haven't listened to a podcast. I haven't listened to a book. I haven't gone to an event. I haven't done anything. I haven't taken the next step. So What does your company do for people that are like people, teenagers, millennials that are lost and don't know where to start?
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful, by the way. Continue doing what you're doing, and please, you know, invite all your students to do it as well. And I really honor you that you're doing the podcast for you. And I would take you one step further, if I may. It's not just letting go of other people's judgments, because the truth is there is no other people's judgment. The truth is it's your judgment internally that's kicking your own butt. Yeah. And you're using the other person as
an excuse. Yeah.
Even deeper, when you really want to get into, you know, deep down the rabbit hole, they are a reflection of you from the universe saying, hey, Travis, by the way, you know how you're judging yourself and you think you're a knucklehead, you're not doing this? That person shows up because you hear it in your head all the time, right? You hear it in your head and you don't think it's really real and you just kind of slough it off. But when it comes from the outside, well, we tend to take that more as credible. But when you really step back and go, there isn't an outside, that's just myself reflecting back to me so I can see how I talk to myself.
Yeah.
And here's the first great place to start when you talk about the mental side. Then I'll answer the second part of that question is, ask yourself this question. If any of your friends talked to you the way you talk to yourself in your head, would you have them as a friend? And chances are the answer is hell no. Then you have to just ask yourself, well, you're with you. You are the single longest relationship you'll ever have in your entire life, regardless of marriage, regardless of your parents. You're it. So until you start getting into the ideology that to marry yourself, and I'm not talking about self-centeredism or self-egoism, you know, I'm talking about truly understanding you don't escape you, right? And what you think you are, more importantly, and to understand that, wait a minute, everything outside of me is a reflection of myself. And so the second thing I start people with is come to the philosophy and really practice it. Because again, knowing something doesn't mean you are something, right? I know a lot about things. It doesn't mean I am it, right? I know a lot about chemistry, but I wouldn't call myself a chemist.
Yeah,
I don't practice it. I just went through school. I learned some stuff and great. But realistically, when you understand that, you know, the world doesn't revolve around you, but you are the center of your world, that changes everything, which then you get to start own the responsibility of your journey. And you get to architect it. You get to understand that every single decision is yours. And then you get to ask yourself the next question, which is a whole nother rabbit hole, which is, are you making decisions? Are you making choices? And there's a big difference between those two things. And until you understand them, you're subject to the laws of those two things. And then to answer your back part of your question, where do I start? You know, like people say, well, I hear that all the time, by the way, too, Mark. People go, I'm interested in business. I'm like, well, great. I'm interested in going to the moon. It doesn't mean I'm doing anything about it. Right? There's a lot of things I'm interested in, but that doesn't mean I'm really made the, you know, the decision or the choice to go beyond interest. You know, there's a lot of things I'm interested in the podcast. I started in radio, so it's a completely different model to me. So I'd rather be interviewed on podcasts than host a podcast myself. That's just the truth. You know, it doesn't make me less than or more than. It just means my passion isn't in hosting a podcast. I could BS myself and start one, but then you and I both know it shows up on the camera. The camera doesn't lie. So why misalign myself? Why not just call a great host like yourself and say, hey, I've got a real interesting story. Does this work for you? And let's jam. You're in your passion. I'm in my passion. Everybody wins. And so the first thing we invite people to do is go to travisfox.net and take the free passion test. Start there and find out, are you really in alignment with your own passion? And are you on your relationship side, on your entrepreneurial side, and most importantly, with yourself? Or are you too busy hypnotizing yourself and the stuff you know is just BS? Start there. It's free. All you got to do is click. Don't take rocket science. You spend enough time online looking at other mindless stuff to distract yourself. Why not just take a look at yourself? Isn't that the most interesting part? And that's where we start people off.
Yeah, got you. So I'm going to dive back into your entrepreneurial journey and where it started for you. So could you just give us a quick rundown of kind of where it all started in terms of creating the business, finding and helping people find what they love to do?
Sure. Yeah, look, Marco, the true honesty was, you know, after 19, when I realized my golf career was going to go away quickly, you know, I found my mentor found me because I was ready. Right. And I didn't think I was, but I was ready at the time. And, you know, he introduced me to what became my path. And that started with, you know, a dive into the subconscious modalities. What is actually beneath the surface of my awareness? Now, one of the great illusions that we like to perpetuate on ourselves is that I'm aware or I'm awake. I'm one making all the choices, yada, yada, yada. Well, if that were true, then that means you'd be aware of everything that's going on in your body. Every little functionality would be at a conscious awareness level, which is fundamentally not true and not even remotely close to the truth. Hence the term subconscious mind, or sub meaning below, consciousness, meaning below our awareness, which means if our subconscious is running, you know, our body for us, our heartbeat, our digestion, our endocrine system, our adrenaline system, immune, all these systems that are running that we just expect to keep running because, well, dang it, my body's supposed to do it. Like it's some third party entity that you subbed out as a contractor. It's you. But we make the assumption that we're completely awake. And so that became my passion. You know, a couple of doctorates later and sitting under my mentor for 15 years, I endeavored to fix me. My whole goal wasn't to help other people, at least consciously. Subconsciously, my soul path, it is to become the teacher healer that I love being. On a conscious level, entrepreneurial level, when I was your age and then into my young 20s, my whole thing was, Travis, you need to go to school, get all these degrees, figure out what's going on in your head, put your head back on square, and let's go back out and play golf because we got that part down. We just got to get this thing that's on my shoulders to start working. Well, again, conscious ego says, go do this. But heart said, that's not where my passion really is. And somewhere around 26, 27, I really asked myself, do I really want to go back out, you know, to play golf? Am I really that interested in it or not? And my whole journey became about helping others then at that moment wake themselves up on a step-by-step system so they didn't have to go through the journey that I did, which was the death of a dream of who I thought I was supposed to be. I was supposed to be Travis Fox, the PGA, you know, professional golfer that was going to change the world, which obviously clearly was Tiger Woods' role and not mine. But nonetheless, that's what my ego told me. But my heart said, that's not where I'm really interested. I loved being on stage. I loved being in classrooms. I loved teaching and healing. And what the number one passion for me to this day, Marco, is watching people wake themselves up and being in the room when they do it. And when they do it, there's something so magnanimous, so dynamic that I don't even know how to express it because English language is such a rudimentary tool that when a person wakes themselves up and goes, holy crap, I'm the architect of my entire journey and I can change anything I want right now. Now that I have a system to do it and I understand it and I take responsibility for it. And you're like, yeah, man, let's jam. What do you want to create? Because you're not getting out of this planet alive and you're here for a purpose. So guess what? Whatever your heart's telling you, even if it's the craziest, wildest, stupidest things like, you know, making baskets underwater in Guam, because that's what your heart tells you, there's a purpose that is way beyond your conscious awareness, but have the courage, have the damn courage to follow it. Because if you don't, you're not just screwing yourself out of a dream that you could possibly never imagine in your infinite wisdom, because your brain's just not that intelligent. Mine isn't, yours isn't, it's just not. You're also screwing the rest of humanity, because you're here. You're here. You know, as Gary Vee likes to always say, you know, it's 1 in 400 trillion as an odds to become a human. Well, yeah. You already beat that. So consider yourself lucky and wake the F up and let's go. And let's go. And there's nothing more dynamic for me than being in a room and, you know, like we have our next major Unify event coming up in March. Actually, Gary Vee is going to be at that event in Las Vegas. And, you know, you have 1,700 people in the room and there's always this moment. I'm sure you have it on your podcast. There's this moment where, you know, you call it that aha moment, where all of a sudden the audience clues in and they go, oh crap, this isn't just about business. And I would say it never was. The best business you're ever going to be in is the business of yourself. And when you get that, everything else is just an extension of that. And now you move from, I've got to have to do all this I get to do all this. Yeah, you get to do it for the time that you're here on planet Earth, and don't squander it. Cause man, it goes by like pow, just like that. Yeah. It goes by fast. So wake up and enjoy it.
No, it's so interesting because recently I've woken myself up just by all the amazing things that I've decided to do, whether it be listen to 65 podcasts in 1 month or read 30 books in 3 days. It's, you know, the taking massive action leads to something inside and outside that really changes the way that you think. In the last 3 months, you know, my whole life trajectory has just gone up because I've taken action and I've seen what I want to do and how I'm going to do it. And at such a young age to be able to know my purpose, which is to help entrepreneurs and individuals take their passions and aspirations and turn into a successful, fulfilling business, which really drives and motivates me to get up when people are partying, when people are lazy, to read in class when no one's reading, to listen to podcasts when no one's listening. So I think it's important, and it's so important to find your purpose and what you love doing, because it's really going to drive and motivate you.
All right, let's play, if you don't mind. Let's take that awareness. You're 15, and to have that kind of awareness at 15 is stellar. And I think your generation has a beautiful opportunity, far better than mine did, to do that because of the dissemination of information commonly called the internet, right? You guys can access any kind of information simultaneously around the world. And sometimes that's overwhelming to people. Yeah. So my response is, yes, you have that awareness at 15, as I did, and then 25, it changes, 35, it changes, 45, it changes, and that's okay. So let me ask you this. You said my passion is to help other people. Isn't really your passion about doing it for yourself and allowing people to watch you do the journey? Because how can you really help anybody? They have to make the decision, as you so eloquently said. They
I'm helping them to get to that step, you know, giving them the tools and the systems.
If I can play Dr. Fox for 30 seconds. And maybe this is a really fun journey for yourself and for your listeners, is you're not helping them do a damn thing. You're saying, hey, look, this is my journey. This is my passion. This is what I want to do with business, my entrepreneurial space. And by the way, I love it so much, I'm willing to share everything that I'm doing, mistakes, successes, staying up till 3 a.m, reading books, some good, some weird, watching podcasts, talking to guys like this knucklehead, Travis, on my podcast, so I can learn things about myself and reflect. This is what I'm doing, fam. So fam, if you guys want to come along on this journey, that's the direction I'm going. That's the only thing you're really offering them, is to say, hey, I'm willing to open myself up so wide that I'm fall on my face, bust my teeth out, make mistakes, make successes, and you're all welcome to jam along with me. Beyond that, you get to choose your journey too, because the truth is, and I say this respectfully, you can't help anybody do anything more than I can. Yeah. When I was your age, I was like, I'm going to save the world. I'm going to wake them all up. I'm going to be the next guru of all time. I'm the next Gandhi. I'm the next, you know, Charles and all. Not true. The truth is, I'm just on my journey too, going, hey, I'm architecting my own life. This is what I'm passionate about. If you want to jam with me, come on, because it's really cool if we all jam together and we go in a common cooperative direction. But beyond that, I don't have any answers for you, and there's nothing I can do for you. Obviously, you have to make every choice and decision yourself. And into that space, releasing yourself from the responsibility of I'm helping people do this, because what happens when the person you don't help? They go, Marco, your podcast didn't help me do squat. I did what you told me to, and I lost $1 bazillion. Time out. That's not Marco's responsibility. That's your responsibility. So perhaps, just for food for thought for your own journey, it's you're not helping people, you're showing them your journey. And that may help them if they deem it helpful, but it takes the responsibility off of you of having to carry all of this weight of these other people, because the truth is, they have to make their own decision, brother. And if they don't, then you become the excuse or you become the blame. Right. And then sometimes when they become successful by following what you've done, you may not get the credit. Not that that really matters anyways, but you all of a sudden you take yourself out of the space of I'm doing this because this is Marco's passion. You can watch me do it or not. That's your choice. You can do the things that I'm doing or not. That's your choice. You can ask me questions. I'll answer based on what's passionate to me and what I'm doing for my journey. But I don't know that that's the answer for you. And now all of a sudden you become this beautiful guide, as opposed to I do this and I help other people. The truth is, they have to help themselves. Otherwise, you, me, and all the rest of the entrepreneurs would be out of business.
Yeah, got you. So essentially, it's helping myself, which is going to help others.
Right. Or not. And if they choose not to, okay. For example, I mean, I think everybody should go through the architect training. I want to change the educational system, because I believe the one thing we don't teach your generation, or any generation for that matter, is how do I run myself? We teach you how to do math. We teach you how to do astrophysics. We'll teach you how to take tests. We'll teach you how to be a slave, how to get a job. We'll teach you how to do YouTube. But we will not teach you how to get out of your own freaking head. We won't teach you how to get into your passion. We won't teach you how to understand how this spacesuit called your body actually works. I'm not talking anatomically as in going to anatomy. I'm talking about psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, from the perspective of, hey, guess what? Your time here on Earth is limited. It's finite. There's no way around it. Deal with it right now. The faster you face the fear of death, is the faster you start living your life passionately on purpose. And your journey, brother, which is exciting to me, which is why I wanted to be on your show, is, hey, this young man has made a choice. Unlike a lot of people in your generation who just says, hey, well, I'm just going to go on YouTube and hope to God I get a following and do some really goofy stuff that really may not have any meaning except for mindless distractionary entertainment. And say, hey, I'm going to dive into this now. I'm going to read books. I'm going to do podcasts. I'm going to learn from people who are older than me, 3, 4, 5 times older than me, who've done that journey, because that's what I'm passionate about. Because I believe there's a generation out there, speaking on your behalf, that are my age that are going, man, there's so many people that want to be an entrepreneur. So many people want to be online. So many people want to be the next Gary Vee, Tony Robbins, Deepak Chopra, whatever, but they have no idea where to start. That I'm going to do this as my path. And if they see it and they follow, awesome. If they don't, awesome, because I'm still going there no matter what. I'm going that direction because that's what Marco's interested in. And when you release yourself of that responsibility and then let that emboldened passion that you have come out, holy crap, Marco, you're going to do a hell of a lot more damage than I've ever done. You've got the power to do it, and you're three times younger than me, and you've got these tools that didn't exist when I started my journey. We had a thing called a phone, and it wasn't a cell phone. It was a rotary dial phone. You know, and you had to do it the old way. So I'm so passionate about your generation learning to manage themselves, because that's your single longest relationship. You manage that. Well, everything else is an extension of that. And I think that's what you're doing brilliantly. And you see, you take that position with your listeners, watch the jump in your entire business model. Yeah. Because if you really listen to it, the people have to help themselves. And it's not that you're not providing a path, but the truth is you're helping yourself first. And this is what I do, Marco, for me. This is what I do, Travis, for my journey. You're welcome to see what I do. Bumps, bruises, nicks, successes, failures, mistakes, wrong paths, bumped in the walls. You know, hey, had great experiences. I'm sharing that journey with you so that you can help yourself make your own choice. When you come to that thing, it's a lot more fun, because now there's no such thing as failure or success. There's just Marco's journey.
Honestly, a lot of people say you can, for me, I'm trying to decide, if I go to Travis, who's three times my age, and I learn the mistakes that he made so that I don't have to make them, and understand the concepts that he understands before the time being where I have limited time, limited access, and my body's old, whatever it is, what do you say to people that, you know, want to get into the position that you're in, at a younger stage? And is it possible for someone who's 16, 17 to have the mind that you have and to experience the experiences that you possess at such a young age? And is it mentally possible, and is it healthy?
Great question. That's probably the best question we've asked so far. Thanks for asking. My response is, can the mind be as advanced? Yes, because the mind is a tool. It's trained, right? The illusion is that the mind is the one running the show. It's not. So there's an old saying that says, and forgive the analogy, but it kind of begs the point. If I were to pull out my sword and lop off your head, problem solved, but you still exist. How is that possible? And so when you look at that, you look at that metaphor, then you look at that fable, you start to understand that, wait a minute, I am not my mind. I'm not my beliefs. And so, yes, the mind can expand far beyond. I mean, well, let's be honest, Marco. As I said at the top of the hour, you're far more intelligent than I am. It's taken me 49 years to learn what you're already doing.
Yeah.
So we can talk about intelligence from a cognitive mind perspective, or we can talk about wisdom. And wisdom is deep down in your guts. And for me, I would say the only reason I'm quote unquote more wise is because I've spent more time inside than the average 15-year-old. Doesn't mean that they can't be as enlightened, because when you drive all the way, and I'm not saying I'm enlightened, by the way, when you dive down into that space, you're going to find out we're all connected. Right. And, you know, you can dug to the Jungian model of, the collective unconscious. You can look into the theory of one. But somewhere down the line, you're going to dive into, there is no such thing as us and them. There is no separatism. That age is just a chronological experience of your space suit, meaning your body. The rest is whether you're choosing to wake yourself up. Regarding the experiences, I could teach you everything I know, everything I've experienced, success, failure, left, right. I can dump it into your entire being. And guess what? You're still going to bump into walls. You're still going to have heartbreak relationships. You're still going to have very successful ones. You're going to have partnerships that don't work. You're going to have partnerships that have been mild, some that are great successes. You're going to find out sometimes you like working better on your own. Sometimes you like working better in a group. And those all come down to, where are you at in your choice of your journey? And so I think that the experiences, when people say, hey, Travis, I want to learn from your mistakes, I'm like, well, great. But that has nothing to do with what your journey is going to be about. I can tell you every mistake I've ever made. It doesn't mean you're not going to make them. In fact, what it should do is point out to you where you're about to make a choice that's either in alignment with what your heart's telling you or non-alignment. That's it. And then that's going to boil down to, again, we're back to decision and choice. And decisions and choices are very, very, very different things. But yet everyone goes, I make decisions every day. I'm like, do you really? I mean, I bet you anatomically I can prove that by the time you're aware of a decision, it was made long before it came to your conscious awareness, which will then bet the question of, who's running the show? Who's really running the show? And are you Do you have enough courage to face yourself, to face that you are not your beliefs, that there is something far more powerful inside of you, and that right now you're on this beautiful journey that at an architect land we call vacation planet Earth. You're on a vacation for a lifetime. Now, if you're blessed, that lifetime could go 80, 90, 100 plus years chronologically.
Got you.
Maybe not. But to assume that is the first illusion. Assume that I have time. Because you know what, Marco? You're so powerful, so already dynamically out there, and so intelligent that you know what? Your journey may be for, like some of the other great teachers, may only be for 30 years. So if I said, Marco, you got 15 years to impact as much of your journey as possible for yourself, and along the way, the people who want a journey, would you change what you're doing right now and accelerate? Would your priority structure shift? Would your value system shift? Your answer is most likely yes. And then ultimately you have to go, well, where am I not aligned with that philosophy right now? And apply that to your personal life, your entrepreneurial journey, you know, maybe your romantic space, and of course your family space. And then ultimately the biggest one, your spiritual journey, however you define spiritualism.
Absolutely. So, you know, just to go off the topic now of Architect of Being, it's such an amazing program, and I think I'm going to have to indulge in it. But yeah, just for the people that are listening, what do you suggest for them? I'm not sure how much you charge.
$1 billion.
But if maybe they can't afford it for some reason, or they're not allowed to do it,
there's no such thing in my world.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me solve that for you. If someone tells me I can't afford to invest in themselves, I will respond and say BS. That is you avoiding you giving me some BS excuse. Now, am I the most expensive person on the planet? No. I was at one time because my ego said I needed, that was value. If I charge more, it's got more value. That's a load of crap. What I've done is I've spent a lifetime building a system that, one, helped me wake myself up and still does to this day. All of my students around the world and my students' students, and then it's just people, you know, way down there that I don't know yet per se, that it's not a money thing. There's six stages in the architect journey that you can go through. And each one is progressively built on the one before it when you're ready. The first one is free. That's the passion test. So don't tell me you can't afford that. That is a choice decision of time. Yeah. You can't afford not to take that awareness, because at least gives you some clue of where I'm at. Again, you go to travisfox.net and take that. The next step is your first 14 hours. It's called the jump training. And it's to jumping into your life, because we've been so busy jumping out of our life, so busy, I've got to be this, and I've got to be that, and I've got to be the cool kid, and I've got to be the, you know, I've got to have the Ferrari by the time I'm 18, and I've got to have 1 billion followers, 1 billion subs over on YouTube, and all these other real stats that don't mean diddly squat, right? But they sound cool on paper. But step back and jump into my life, no different than you've already done with yourself, that costs a whopping $97. $97. Yes. And you get 15 hours. It's me teaching it. It comes right to your email box every single freaking day. And on top of that, you're automatically assigned an architect advisor. One of my students who is just like you, who went through the entire journey of a lifetime system. The only people that you're allowed to talk to that are architect advisors are ones that I've personally trained. I mean, one-to-one personally trained them. So I know the quality, and the brand continues to stay consistent, because what I'm interested in building is a legacy that goes way beyond me. Architect of Being is designed as a company and corporate structure that will survive Travis Fox. I have a whole architect council. I have, that have been all trained by me. We all run the company together and collectively. Obviously, I'm the CEO and run it now, but there's a time where I'll step down. Because I'm just the messenger of my time, as you are for your time, Marco. You're the messenger of your time to your generation, and our time always has an end. And so the system and the company is built as a legacy driver. But you can go there. And from $97, if you tell me you can't put $97 into yourself, I would suggest to you that there's a high degree of probability you have not dove into or have dived into what you're really interested in, except for you're interested in being distracted, which is cool. Yeah. There's no judgment in that. Just own that you like to distract yourself from yourself.
Yeah, got you. No, the travis.net will be in the description below. Make sure you go check it out if you're interested in joining the journey. Travis will definitely change your life. I think that he's already sold me, so I have to go now check it out.
Thank you.
But I want to go into more of the business section too, and kind of undergo how you built up the 3,000 people that are on your affiliate, company now, and all the systems behind it, and how you've partnered with someone, and the journey of, your team, sales, that type of thing. So can you just quickly go into where it started, what you've learned, and a few kind of mistakes that you've made on, you know, creating this business and this community?
Yeah, so the ACE Initiative was formed as Architects Creating Entrepreneurs, a three-way partnership between myself, Brian Hodgson, and Brandon Odom. We came together from a philosophy that says, you know, people, there's so much information out there now that I think the number one thing people suffer from is paralysis by analysis. Dive into things, they look at this, there's so many people selling e-commerce, or, you know, there's the next funnel, the next product, the next, you know, the next PDF value training giveaway, but there's an information bombardment overload to the, you know, to people, especially to your generation, because you guys grow up with cell phones and iPads and internet, it's normal. Well, to my generation, you know, there was very limited information. You had to go find it. Literally. Nowadays, there's so much coming to you that I think your generation is, if it has its one first challenge is you have so many different choices, it don't know which choice to make. And so the ACE Initiative was designed as a university system to teach entrepreneurs, how do I start? What do I need to know? What does this platform do? Like, you know, what does Facebook do? What does Twitter do? What does Instagram do? How does ManyChat help me? What do I need to understand about a story versus a post? And it walks you through all of these different things, including how do I start a company? What is an LLC? What is an S designate or a C designate, you know, here in the United States? Do I need a limited partnership? You know, and it gives you all of this information so you can get an idea of, okay, how do I form it? What's my journey? Do I have a team around me that's going to help me? So what we've done is, when you come into, and you can go to our other website and see that, and that's called CEO Soul, and that's SOUL.net. And it's, again, me, and that invites you into our entrepreneurial side. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to answer a questionnaire that kind of gives you an idea of a blueprint. What do I want to be as an entrepreneur? Do I want a partnership? Do I want just to invest into something where I don't have to have hands-on? Do I want some hands-on? Do I want full hands-on? Because entrepreneurialism, as I said in the beginning, is about falling in love with the process. Fall in love with the journey of building something, and whether it's partnership, individually, it doesn't matter. You choose. There's no right or wrong, but you got to know what you want to build before you start building it. That's why it's called architecting, right? Yep. The first thing you do when you build something is you architect it. Well, no different than yourself or your journey. It should be in that way, at least as a framework. So then you get on a call with one of our coaches who are all graduates, who have all done offline entrepreneurialism in some form or another. They've been a part of our system. They know it. And then we're going to interview you and just kind of talk to you as a person. Before we talk about anything, there's no sales, there's no, hey, Marco, you got to buy this down, but wait, if you do it now, there's more. And guess what? Here's another one-time offer, and just stop that crap for 30 seconds and go, Marco, tell me about you, because you know what? Maybe right now, we're not the best solution for you, and we don't want to bring you on an entrepreneur journey just because we can. Just because we can doesn't mean we should. So we have a very strong ideology, and it's built our culture, and our brand culture is built off of what my third book was all about. It was called Architect That, which is building your business by leading from the bottom up. And the bottom up is a double meaning, meaning bottom, meaning heart up, but also as a culture, myself and my two co-founders, I'm the CEO, Brian's the CMO, and Brandon is the COO, but we're at the bottom. We're not at the top of the model and everybody rises up to us and looks up to us like we're all that in a bag of chips. We're at the bottom. Our job is to serve our community, to serve our leaders, to serve our assistants, to serve our department heads, and to serve the entire community of to vet out, to find the best ways for them to learn what information is going on out there, how to make our university system better, how to give them more and more opportunities to create entrepreneurial journeys. And we teach on three levels. We teach on how to make revenue. And there's multiple ways you can do that inside the ACE Initiative. Then how to build wealth. You know, what does wealth really mean? Because wealth to you and I might be two totally different things. And then three, the investment level, investment on investment. And the ideology is that as a true entrepreneur, you want all three things firing simultaneously. Revenue being the lifeblood of your scenario, growing wealth and the ability to move money around and to grow and expand your company, but also to, and then have your money make money and compounding of time and learning all of those things. And then from there, inside that, we help craft with you what the blueprint you want, and then the opportunities that we present inside the ACE Initiative. It's not an MLM. It's not a cult. It's not you got to stay with the cool kids. You can stop at any time. You can say, hey, you know what? I've learned what I needed to learn. I'm out of here, Travis. I'm like, hey, great, Marco, go change the world. Keep me posted, man. Next time you do something, let me know. And then the last level of that is the Unify events. And the Unify events are exactly what they sound like. You know, a lot of times, and I'm sure you've done this, Marco, we've all go to these events now. We go to, you know, networking, et cetera. We go to these entrepreneurial events and you have 20 speakers on there, but each speaker is really speaking about themselves or some upsell or something that they offer. And by the time you're done, you don't know which one you're supposed to do. Am I supposed to get the lead gen guy? Am I supposed to get the corporate structure guy? Or am I supposed to go over here into how do I do my content and my ad spend? Do I want to be a YouTube guy? I don't know what the heck to do. I'm just as lost as I was before I came to the dang event. So Unify which is owned by us, all of our teams, is all of us speaking about the same thing, meaning here's the entrepreneurial journey. Each of us is going to show you value. And the only position you have is, does ACE as a company and an entrepreneurial journey support system and community system support you or not? Because everyone on that stage, bar Gary Vee and Tom Bilyeu, who are speaking, there are keynotes at this next one in March in Vegas, is all speaking about the same thing, which is we're all going that direction. No different than you talk to your listeners. We're going this way. With or without you, we're headed here. If you'd like to join, the invitation is yours to extend, and you choose how you want to participate with us. There's no right or wrong. There's no cool kids, not cool kids. There's none of this level up. Just you're in. You know, for example, there's a open door policy that we have in the company. Just because I'm the CEO doesn't mean anything, right? It means anybody can contact me at any given time, and they do all around the world. They say, hey, Trav, I've got a question about something, or hey, can you help me this, or can you point me in the right direction? To the best of our ability, we will. Where a prior model, my generation, the CEO was at the top and they're untouchable and you had to go through all these layers, and that's just crap. Because, you know, as I said from the top here, Marco, you know, I don't have all the answers. In fact, I'll tell you quite often, I don't have any answers for you, but I have really good questions that will help you discover your own answers. And isn't that the point of entrepreneurial journeyism? So Architect, ACE, Unify, they all work together in a sequence, and you can come in anywhere you want to in the journey. But that's the first thing we do, is really discover what you are interested in, because I could sell you a bunch of stuff, Marco. And if you're like most, I sell it to you, you buy it, it goes on the shelf and you don't do a dang thing with it. Well, that's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in people taking the step, even if it's a small one. Hey, I just want to learn. I don't know what a Facebook ad is. I don't know how to look the metrics of it. I don't know what Instagram does or TikTok or any of these other platforms that continue to pop up, and they're everywhere. Each one has a different ideology. I don't know what that means. Well, let's start with the first thing. Do you want to know? And if you don't, then you don't need to be a part of the ACE initiative. You don't need to be part of it, because that's not what you're really interested in. Well, I'm more interested in self-help. Well, maybe you should be over an architect. Well, maybe I just want to go to an event and stick my toe in the water. Well, why don't you come to a Unify event, see some of these other amazing speakers, from Gary Vee. I'll be speaking to this one myself. You know, there's a lot of other great speakers at it. We've got 2 days of packed event where you're going to experience this. But it's all about showing you, inviting you experientially the same thing. It's a unified front. We all go together. Is that a community you want to be a part of? Is that something that helps your entrepreneurial journey? If not, thanks for taking a look. You know what? I'll direct you to Marco. Marco's 15. He's an entrepreneur. Maybe you should talk to him. He's got a different path. And we're not afraid to refer people out. We're not saying, you know what? This might not be the path for you. And I think what's made our success and continues to make our success is we're willing to own that we're growing too. You know, what we started as and what we are now are two totally different things. It continues to grow. I mean, our entire goal is to become the single largest entrepreneurial educational platform on the planet, where people can learn their journey, online or offline, doesn't matter, but to learn it. Because again, back to educational system, and you're right in smack in the middle of it. We don't teach, at least in the United States, we don't teach people to be, thought leaders, to be independent. You got to go do that on your own, because that's not what our society teaches. Our society teaches get a job, get in debt, have one or two kids, get your house, get your mortgage, do that for 30 or 40 years, still to this day, maybe get a side hustle till you're ready and you can invest in a business or something. And then guess what? Pass it on to your kids and die. Awesome. Yeah. That sounds like a journey I could totally avoid. Not interested. Yeah. Right. And
I constantly think about, which is crazy, is that school actually doesn't teach you how to learn. They teach you
how to take tests.
They teach you about math, and they don't teach you how to process that through your mind. And that's why, Jump Quick, someone who's really helped me learn, fast productivity, take procrastination out the equation, and really get results. So I quickly want to go, who is your target audience? If you had to say an age, and a person in a certain situation, who is the person that you want to join the Architect?
Everyone. I think everyone should go through it, only from the perspective that we don't do it. But to answer your question specifically, it's really designed, the Jump is designed from the 20-year-olds, your age, and maybe about 30, because the Jump is pretty heady. It's not so far that you can't understand it, but you could spend the next year on just the 14 hours of the Jump training and still not think about the same thing twice. From there, it's really about those who want to, and on the architect side, those who want to take their personal journey to the next level and maybe even ultimately become, an architect themselves, and then make that their business. And, all the architect graduates do that in some form or another now. And it's designed that way. So it actually becomes, if you want to be in the life transformational business, so the self-help business, the self-development, whichever term you like to put on it, The Architect system is designed for you to do that, and we actually help you brand that post in your own brand, your own setup. And if not, really, I think everyone should go through the jump. I mean, my passion isn't, you know, just a million architects. My passion is that the whole world goes through at least the jump once, because then you have at least awareness. For example, ask you a question. I bet you school doesn't teach you that the conscious mind has seven rules and every human being is stuck with those seven rules. I bet you've never even heard of them, right?
Nope.
Why not? Why shouldn't you? It's your mind. We teach you how to drive a car, but we don't teach you how to run your brain. Again, it's counterintuitive. It makes no sense. And yet, if you look at the dynamics of humanity in history, going back some 6,000-7,000 years, when we had mentor to apprentice, or we had a village, you know, a teacher to a group, we taught those as the first skills. We didn't teach you how to hunt first. We taught you how to deal with fear, deal with procrastination, to deal with my self-doubt, to deal with where do those thoughts come from? Because I wouldn't doubt myself yet, but you do. And then you start asking where those come from. And when you look at those things as an example, you start understanding the jump teaches all that. At least it gives you a blueprint of, oh, that's why I think those thoughts. That's how I can handle it. Here's a process and a practice I can put in that's very quick, very easy, and I can see immediate results. And now I get to decide if I want to continue that or not. And if you don't, then you get to own that. And if you do, you get to own that. But either way, you're now making choices. And that's where the jump starts. So our target audience is that your generation to the 30 from the jump. And then from there, if they want to go to architects in training or architecting mastery, they can continue to progress. And it's just naturally within the system if they do that. But really, it's about the jump first.
Awesome. So can you want to quickly close with, got another call after this, but let's quickly close with three questions. One is, you've obviously spent 14,000 hours on stage around the world. And for me, I really want to start getting on stages and speaking. I think it's a great way to reach a mass people and tell them what you do, how you do it, and how you can help them.
And it's fun.
And you're going to speak and have dinner with people that you know you don't know.
What a concept.
Yeah, exactly. So how would you, you know, you've got a business model now, you've got something to say, how would you start speaking on stage, and what would you advise people to start doing to really get on stages around the world?
Yeah, well, first thing I do is, like, Marco, I mean, my mind's already thinking, listening to you, because as much as you say you're interviewing me, I would say the interview is quite the opposite. I'm actually getting the pleasure of interviewing you and watching you and going, wow, this young man is really on the ball, and he's just doing it. You know, you just got to honor that journey. Just start there. So one, congratulations to you. Two, my response to you would be, well, maybe we should consider you for the next Unify event.
Well, thank you.
I'll put you on stage and see if you're ready for it. And then to answer your question for your audience is, you guys have all grown up with something really cool. It's called the internet. And so part of learning to be on stage is learning to be comfortable with you on stage, because you can't hide behind a microphone, and it's challenging because people are staring at you. And you get to watch yourself judge yourself by watching the people look back at you. And so you learn to become very comfortable on stage, starting by being comfortable with yourself. And the first place you can start that is, you've got a plethora of platforms where you can get up and start speaking about what you're passionate about. That's the first step. I don't care if it's a YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, I don't care, but just practice. Whether anybody's watching or not becomes immaterial. Don't do it because you want people to watch you. Yeah. That's your ego telling you that you need someone to tell you that you're valuable, that you're worth something, that you're not just a knucklehead, and that's all bull crap. I don't care where your head's coming from. Exactly. Get in the jump and figure out where it's coming from. But practice talking to the camera and letting your guts spill out, all of it. God, you know, today I had this day sucked. I mean, I thought I was terrible. I went to take this test, or I went to this business meeting. You know, I met this person and I was completely rude and I didn't mean to be. I didn't even know why I was. Or go the other way. You had a great day today, and let yourself feel your emotions. Because if you're going to be on stage, you're going to speak to other people, it has to be experiential. They have to viscerally experience in their body, in their being, feel what you're saying, not hear what you're saying. Because we've all done this in school, and you've all heard speakers that will just bore you to sleep because they're just talking at you. No one wants to be talked at. We want to have a conversation. I want to have an interaction. I want to have a dialogue. I want an experience. I want to transformationally feel what Marco's saying to me, or what Travis is saying to me, and let me know if that feels good or bad, right or wrong for me. Cool, because that's the point of it, is to be a guide map for that experience. That starts with your ability to look at yourself and be able to stand on that stage. No different than you do with your podcast and go, here it is. You know, this is my journey. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to let the entire world do it. And I got to tell you, the one thing I invite your entire generation, all my young architects, is document it every day. Not because you want to be the coolest kid on YouTube or the coolest kid on Instagram or TikTok and your following count. Who gives a crap? Have the courage to get up and just document your life every single day, because the truth is there are billions of lives that have come before you that have never been documented, who have a countless amount of wisdom and knowledge that is lost to the ages and has to be recalled and remembered through next generations because we couldn't record it. Now we have the ability to record every single person's journey daily. Step into that and spill your guts out and make your channel, make your speaking about that. And then along that process, I promise you, listen to me, brothers and sisters out there, whatever age you are listening, doesn't matter. Record your journey, record it. There comes a time, well, 10 years from now, Marco, you and I are going to have an interview. And I go, remember that time we did that interview when you were 15? Like, yeah, what's happened in the last 10 years? Well, your memory of it in your brain and your documentation of it on video or film will be completely different. So document your journey, family. So the first thing I tell people is if you want to be a speaker every day, get in the habit of talking to yourself, because when you're on stage, if you're truly going to own it and be a transformational speaker, you're going to own, you're talking to yourself and the audience is reflecting back to you. How close to the authenticity are you of your journey? And thank them. Walk in with gratitude. Don't walk in with, I've got all the answers. I'm all that in a bag of chips. I did that when I was 25 and I was Dr. Fox and I thought I knew something. I found out I was dumb as a brick. Now, you know, some 30 some years later, it's an honor to stand in front of any audience, five people or 5,000, doesn't matter to me. I've done them all. And come to that space of, am I really presenting myself as authentic as possible and allowing them to feel that viscerally and experientially? And that starts with what we're doing right now. Talk to yourself on camera and just let yourself talk. Because if you want to go up and give me a rehearsed speech, I'm going to fall asleep. I'm going to get distracted. I'm going to get on my phone, or I'm going to get up and I'm going to leave. Because in today's world, we continue to, you know, look for something that feels real, not sounds interesting.
I love that, you know, Tony does it so well, is that, you know, every speech that I've studied of his is he interacts with the audience, and, you know, essentially every time it's different because someone's got a different answer. So
a different audience, right?
You know, it's beautiful to watch, and I really admire him. I haven't checked out your stuff, but I'm sure it's also almost better.
I don't know about better. It's just different, right? It's just my
there's no better. Right? That's what I tell people that all the day. Don't compare yourself to my story or my journey or Travis's. Live your life. And yeah, it's part of it.
Remember, you're not getting out alive anyway, so there's nothing to compare to.
Exactly. You know, perfect. Well said. So quickly, I want to quickly jump into the Emmy Award. I'm not sure kind of, you know, that's something that I had to quickly ask you.
Sure.
How is that process? What was it for exactly? And is it something that you enjoyed the process of it, or wish you went on another path or focused on something else?
Yeah, so my partner and I were five-time Emmy Award nominees, one-time winner. And when they say it's an honor to be nominated and not win, that's half truth. It's cool to be nominated, but it sucks to lose. But it's cool when you win one the first time, and then you realize the reason that you actually win it is not because how good you are. It's because how many mistakes you've made in the past to finally put all the pieces together where it all clicks. And so to me, that award is you've made enough mistakes. You've made enough mishaps. You've done the production, you know, this way. It could have been that way. You've learned all the things to do to finally put the secret sauce together. And that one time it all came together. The art is making that happen again. And you can see this in any award system. It's difficult to repeat it. And it has been difficult since we won.
What was the production that you created?
It was a production called The Fab Four. And it was actually a television production, believe it or not, obviously because it's many. And when we shot it, I have to be honest, when I first got pitched to take on as the producer for it, I went, all right, yeah, I'll do it. Sounds cool. But, you know, my ego said, you know, that's not the next thing. You know, what the hell do I know? Well, come to find out, and to this day, that show is still running. Last year it had done some 12,000 hours on television. It's still running to this day because all the elements came together of all the mistakes we've made in the past, how we did the production, the crew that I use is like a family. We all know each other. We work very well together. It is very nepotistic. There's 65 of us in the crew. The audience was the right audience. You know, the performers and the talent. It was a 3-day production that was just insane with the the 90-day pre-production and then a 35-day post-production. Do I love the process? Yeah, I do. It's consuming. It's a lot more into it than people really think. It isn't just, hey, get a camera up, like, you know, hey, here's my GoPro and I just uploaded to Vimeo. No, it's a process, right? And it's a very dynamic one, but it's a hell of a journey. And it's very much like Joseph Campbell's The Hero Journey. You know, everybody starts out, yeah, Marco, let's go make a film together. Okay, great. This is going to be cool. We're going to talk about this 15-year-old young man who's an entrepreneur. We're going to tell this story and this is how it's going to happen. And this is what we're going to do. And this is how we're going to do it. Yeah, let's go. Okay, everybody starts. Let's raise some money. Let's put together the hire. And about halfway through the journey, you're like, why in the heck did we agree to do this? This sucks. It's taking all my time. I can't get the project done. You know, the scheduling doesn't work or the cameras didn't work. We can't get the rental gear, the location. And then somewhere along the line, and you're in the middle of production, you get that feeling and everybody knows it. It's strange. There's no timing to it. It just happens. Everyone goes, this is cool. This is all coming together. I can see it now. And all of a sudden it takes on this life of its own. The project wraps up and everybody's really happy. Wow, it was an amazing journey. Hey, let's do it again. And then we start the process all over again, which goes back to entrepreneurialism. Fall in love with that journey. Fall in love with, yes, there's going to be days you go, what was I thinking? Oh my God, I should have just stayed working at McDonald's. What the hell's wrong with me? And that's part of it too. And let yourself feel that. For me, you know, the next film, I hadn't done a feature film since 2012, which was The Umbrella Man, which is, you know, it's all over all the different platforms now. You can go look at it. That was my last feature film that I did, where I was the producer of it. I didn't direct that. Michael Grasso directed it and did a great job. Amazing story. It's about love, loss, and redemption and how some things in this life we may never truly understand. And it centers around the JFK assassination, but it's a love story. My next film that I'm involved in actually releases in January 2020, where I'm actually on the front side of the camera. And then also, you know, in fact, in the small part of being a producer about it, but that one's in this space here. And that's really taking it to that next level. And I'm undoubtedly, and let me ask you, Marco, have you ever heard of the film and book, The Secret?
No, to be honest.
Go check it out. It's a worldwide phenomenon. Every entrepreneur, I think, needs to read The Secret because it was really kind of the big thing where the law of attraction exploded, right?
Yeah.
Well, that next film is in January 2020. It's going to release. And that one's called, Beyond the Secret, The Awakening. What have we learned in the last, 15 years?
Awesome. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to listen to it and watch it. Obviously, I could talk to you all day. I've got so many questions still to ask, but we do have to close. And I've got just two more questions, which is, one is, obviously, if you've interacted with Gary Vee and Tom Ballou and all these top guys, what have you seen as you've been on the journey and you've been able to network and connect with them that is so different to their thinking, to the normal person who's got a 5-to-9 job, who's not happy, who wants to be successful like them and looks up to them? What do you see between Tom Ballou's mindset and the people that look up to him and his fans?
Well, for transparency, I've actually never met either of them. Okay. I won't meet them until March of this year. Yeah. I've dealt with their management, so I don't want to mislead. I'll answer that question next time I'm on your show post-March for sure. Gary and I are back-to-back. I go first and he goes second the second day of the Unify event. So I don't want to misrepresent. However, watching their experience is because Gary and I are a lot alike from the entrepreneurial side, which is stop trying to be something you're not. Stop trying to be what your head thinks it's supposed to look like. Because 99% of the time, what you think it should look like and what actually occurs are not in the same universe. And what ends up happening is we start judging that gap as opposed to inviting that the gap probably is more wise than our intelligent mind wants to admit. And so from Gary's point of view, it's be in love with the passion, as we talked about this whole thing. And, Architect is a whole system that does it, where his message is, I started as a guy about wine and nobody listened. And all of a sudden, boom, he became this other thing. Still a wine guy, but he thought he was supposed to be the wine expert. That's what his whole, journey was about. No different than I was supposed to be a PGA Tour golfer. And Tom, talking from a mindset, I love mindset as a precursory, as a first level entry point. Let's talk about your mind. But for me, like Tom and I dovetail off each other from the perspective that he talks about mind. I drop all the way down. Let's get into here. And he does that to a certain degree as well. But he really does a great job of saying, hey, this is what's going on in your mindset. How can I shift 1 degree or 2 degree? And then no different than a golf ball. When you hit a golf ball, impact 1 degree or 2 degrees off center doesn't seem like a lot, but 300 yards down the fairway, 1 degree is 10 yards or 20 yards offline. And Tom's whole philosophy is, well, what if you shifted 1 degree now and then took that journey? What does 2 degrees look like? Are you willing to shift and then follow that process? And then for me, being around guys like that, and I'm a part of a beautiful mastermind that's all in the top 100 guys around the world that are all 8, 9, 10 figure guys, but they all have the same common philosophy as do I, which is the purpose of your journey isn't how much money you can make. The purpose of your journey is how much of you are you willing to leave on the table before you die, right? Live, give all of that value back, give it all there, because the truth, it wasn't yours anyways. You're just borrowing it for the time that you're here. And so all of their philosophies, yes, have they made a lot of money? Have they made a lot of mistakes? Do they continue want to grow? Yeah, but their purpose of growing is their purpose. And yeah, that is their passion, not just the profit.
Got you. Awesome. So I really appreciate you coming on. And I think that it's been an awesome interview. And you've indulged in a lot of things that I have to go and rethink and relook at and understand. But just in terms of where people can find you, what would you like the next step for them to take? Will you just quickly say, you know, give a quick shout out to your social media or the website that you want to check out?
Yeah, my social media is easy. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook are all the same. It's at TravisFox360. That's TravisFox360. And you can see we are on there every day doing something, you know, conversational pieces. If you want to start your architectural journey, start at TravisFox.net. Take the passion test, go through that experience, see some of the value that's on there. If you want to start your entrepreneurial journey, you can go to CEOsoul.net. That's CEO as in chief executive officer, soul, the CEO of your soul.net. You'll see us there. That invites you to architect a being. And if you want to go to a Unify event, just dip your toe in the water, go to unifyusa.com and you can buy tickets. Tickets are on sale now. We're about a third of the way already sold out. Once it sells out, it sells out. And then you can come to that experience and see all these speakers and just experience it. Plus it's Las Vegas. It's one of the, you know, iconic locations in the world. It'll be at the Venetian Theater. And those are the three things. Beyond that, continue to follow this young man. You know, he's doing it far faster than I did. Listen to the show, pay attention, and continue to ask yourself this question. If I had 30 days left to live, would I be doing anything I'm doing right now? And if your answer is no, stop. Look at it. Ask for help. Ask for help from someone else so you can at least reflect and make a decision for yourself.
Yeah. So if you could ask your, you know, your 15-year-old self or tell them anything, what would you tell them?
Meaning tell myself or tell other 15-year-olds?
No, tell you, you know, Travis when he was 15, what would you tell
him? Yeah. Well, yeah. If I could talk to me when I was 15, I would offer myself, enjoy it more. I'm a recovering perfectionist, and I chose a sport that is impossible to perfect.
I coached
on the PGA Tour for almost 10 years and I coached 4 major winners, and I've been around the tour my whole life. And, you know, I've discovered the one key theme is if you don't really love what you're doing, you'll never truly experience the passion of it and the excitement of it, which, and you know, an extreme example of that is obviously Tiger Woods. What makes Tiger Woods great is he is uber passionate about it. And we've seen that in his emotional journey, the ups and the downs. Whereas when I was 15, it was about performance. You know, my performance dictated my self-value. If I shot par that day, I was on top of the world. If I shot 3 or 4 over, I just kicked my own butt. It was terrible. I couldn't believe I hit that shot. Travis, which you're not good enough. And I was, you know, again, if my friends talked to me the way I talked to myself, I'd have no friends. And so for me, I would tell my 15-year-old, enjoy it, man. Enjoy every minute of it. Enjoy the whole thing. And if you're not enjoying it, stop and go do what you enjoy doing. Because guess what? It goes by that fast. And before you know it, as 15, Marco, you and I will have this conversation, I guarantee, in a couple of years, and you'll go, wow. You know, it went by so fast, I blinked, and all of a sudden, now I'm 18, 19, 20. I didn't know what I didn't know, and I missed it because I was so busy trying to grow as an entrepreneur, doing this, that sometimes I didn't stop just to smell the roses. And I know that sounds really kind of ethereal and, oh, kumbaya, but hey, guys, gals, remember this. You're on vacation planet Earth for a limited period of time. Wherever you go after that is up to your journey, whatever you believe, but bottom line is you're not getting off this planet alive. So enjoy it. And if it doesn't feel good inside, have the courage to ask yourself, how come it doesn't feel good and how come I'm still doing it? And then realign yourself with what feels good and go do that and do it quickly because it goes by fast. That's what I would tell myself.
Amazing. So all of Travis's links will be in the description below. Make sure you go check him out and support him. And remember, this is about you guys who are listening. So send me a DM saying who you would like next on the show and let's connect. Remember, guys, keep learning, keep growing, and definitely keep innovating. Subscribe if you enjoyed the podcast. It would be much appreciated if you could write a powerful review. See you guys next time. And thanks again, Travis, for coming on the Young Entrepreneurs Network podcast.
Truly. truly a pleasure. Journey well, y'all.